Well, we've been having field hearings, and of course, when we go out and we talk to people that are involved in administering these programs, that they have complained that, look, you know, we need help too. If you want to get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, then you have to understand that we need administrative staff, we need the auditors, we need to be able to monitor this. And of course, in talking with Mr. Devaney, who is the superstar of all inspector generals and highly regarded by all, you know, across the country, it said that out of the $787 billion, that $55 billion would go into waste and fraud. And so our committee is trying to make certain that we cut down on that number. And in order to do that, we have to go out in the field, talk to people to find out what their concerns are. And we plan to do this around the country, go into areas, talk to people, and see in terms of what their needs are. And we've done that. We started it already. And, of course, we found out that the auditors and, of course, administrative staff are saying, look, we want to make certain we get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, but we need help. So put forth legislation that will give them some assistance. And we've had some outstanding people to come before the committee to talk about it.
And, Congressman, there's another element in here, and that is the guidance that OMB has given the federal agencies, and in turn it goes out to the state agencies who are spending that money, and that is that they want to know so much more than simply what the money was spent on. For example, how many jobs were created.
Right.
And that gets you down to the level of local road and bridge and building contractors and other types of contractors. Small businesses who may have no means of tracking this information in the detail required by OMB. So how do we get around that?
Well, I think that what we do, if we have these auditors and we have administrative people that to assist them, then I think that we can make this work. And we also want to make certain that we get recovery.gov up and running, because once we have information that's going to make this whole operation transparent, then we can see in terms of how we might be able to assist some of these contractors, because we need to make certain that we know where the money is going and that the money is actually creating jobs. And let me just say this. We have another concern. We do not want these governors and mayors of these cities to take this money and balance their budget. We don't want them to do that. This money is to stimulate the economy by creating jobs and opportunities, and I think that we have to make certain that that occurs. So we have to monitor it in every way. But I think that if we get recovery.gov up and at the same time get this legislation through that's going to help these auditors and administrative staff, then they can look and work with these contractors and let them know that, look, this information is needed, it's important, and without it, we're not going to continue to give you resources.
We're talking this morning to Congressman Adolphus Towns, the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, about some of the needs that states have to track stimulus dollars, not just at the federal level, but also at the local and state level, so they can echo back to the government how they're spending the money. So, Congressman, how do you get the money to the states, or what methodology will you use to make that money available to them?
Well, the point is that the money will go out from the various agencies of government, you know, to the state government. And then, of course, what some states have done, New York in particular, they have created like a czar to be responsible for the stimulus package money. They appointed a guy by the name of Mr. Gilchrist, who's a very respected person in the state. He has the responsibility to oversee the stimulus package money. The mayor of the city of New York appointed a guy by the name of Schuyler, who's a deputy mayor already. And then, of course, we brought in the controller to talk to him to find out, you know, his concerns in reference to the money. But the point is that the various agencies that generally have the responsibility will be the ones that will send the money in. But the main thing is once the money gets in, that we have to make certain that the money is doing what it's supposed to do. So we can't allow them to balance their budget because of the fact that they have this additional money from the stimulus package. We also have to be concerned about projects that are shovel-ready. I mean, we want to make certain that this money gets into the community real fast, and that's the reason why we keep using the term shovel-ready.
And Congressman, whose ultimate belly button will Congress push on this? Let's say, take the example of Transportation Department. They've already announced 2,000 projects with stimulus money, and they have teams of people within transportation. They've organized around getting the stimulus money out. So ultimately, Congress can really only lay the finger on the federal agencies after this is all said and done, right?
That's true, but that's the reason why we're having these hearings. Because we want to monitor them and let them know we're looking at what they're doing. And we plan to go around the country doing this and letting people know that waste, fraud, and abuse is out. And that once we let them know that transparency is now in, I think that the behavior would be different. And, of course, we have to make certain that we get recovery.gov up and running. That is a must, because the point is that in this day and age, you know, we want to see in terms of what people are doing and how they're doing it. And that's our responsibility, to make certain that they have the tools to do the job that needs to be done and that the job is being done.
You know, Congressman, this morning, I think much of the conversation is about the swine flu and the response the federal government has taken. A measured response, I think, not closing the border and issuing just health alerts and just monitoring the situation in the various states that have had people come down with it, about 50, we believe, cases at this point. Did you have anything that you wanted to add to the conversation here?
Well, I think we need to be a little more aggressive about this. You know, people move all over. I mean, now, you know, that the fact that transportation has improved tremendously, and that a person is in one city today and another city tomorrow. Another, I mean, I think that, yes, we're concerned about the border states, but the point is that I think we have to be concerned about all states. And I think that we need to be a little more aggressive in terms of our precautions, and also talk about ways and methods to protect ourselves from the swine flu. I don't feel that we have done enough of that. And now, I don't want to frighten people, but the point is that I think they need to know things that they can do, and we need to make certain we get that information out. And I think that the sooner we do that, the better off, because who knows? This could continue. I mean, and we want to make certain we've done everything we can do to prevent it from continuing.
Right. There are 28 right. cases. The largest outbreak seems to be in Queens, New York, around a school that traveled to Mexico, a private school that's in Queens that seems to be having the largest outbreak. And this is now person to person. It isn't just from the fly bite or how some of the other cases got transmitted. It doesn't seem to be, spreading all that quickly. So that's a good sign. But you're saying hand washing, that kind of just public health information?
I think that kind of information must go out as to the sooner we do that, I think that the better off we will be. But and I think that you're right, there's only been the 28 cases. But the point is that we do not know in terms of their family members, their friends and people. So if we start talking about washing your hands, and if we talk about wearing a mask, whatever it needs to take place in order to prevent it from spreading further, we need to do that.